Hello, friends, and welcome back to Destructo Discourse Duper. This is a Dragon Ball Super rewatch podcast. I'm your host, Tyler, and my friends joining me for the discourse on this episode are Dave.
You dare speak of a destroyer's ass?
Jason.
The boys are here.
Melissa.
Spare me your morals, Kakarot.
And Thea.
Still on the ground for dramatic purposes.
David, I had my notes fixated on the quote, "You dare speak of a destroyer's ass," and as soon as you said it, I had to immediately spin my scroll wheel upward for my backup.
I mean, you should have known there would be competition for it.
It is a killer
line. My first rodeo. Mm-hmm. It is. I'm acting like it's my first space rodeo.
Thea, were you able to switch to the dub this week, or are you still watching the sub?
I did. It was great, but actually, then I had to watch the third episode twice because I realized, oh, I don't have the stamina anymore to just watch three in a row without, like, ad breaks.
Yeah.
So, it's good things to learn about myself.
Yeah, the episodes just keep happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every 2 weeks on this show, we rejoin to discuss episodes of the hit anime Dragon Ball Super. This week, we're going to be covering episodes 22, 23, and 24. But before we get into those episodes, I do have a question that is tangentially related to the contents of the episode. This time, more so than most, I think.
I would say
this
so.
This time, it's a reference to something that I think I am the only one that's pleased about. But we'll get there when we get there. My question is, what's an activity that you have resumed after an extended hiatus?
Playing Elden Ring.
Ooh.
Did you just pick up the save again, or did you start fresh?
Oh, I mean, not recently, but, like, I went a very long time since it came out without playing it, and then when Shadow of the Erdtree came out, I finally sat back down and, like, finished it, and it was a grand experience.
I would say, in a more general sense, video games in general. Mm-hmm. I had some very stressful times in terms of my amount of free time and energy, and finally got to a point where I sat down and played Echoes of Wisdom, which is a gosh darn delight.
It's very good.
It is a delight.
Yeah, and sunk about 120 hours into Blueprints.
and, that's what I've been hearing.
Yeah,
that's
and
how it goes.
And so Gamer Girl's back, baby. Let's go.
So when I see the indication on Discord that Melissa's playing Blueprints again, it's not because you just left it running.
No, it's because I gotta get that. you gotta get to room 46 in an hour, man. How the hell are you gonna do that?
I see.
I love Echoes of Wisdom specifically because there's an early Echo you can get that's like a spider that climbs things. And boy, me and that spider.
Best of buds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Play the beginning song from. Play Send Me on My Way from the beginning of the Matilda movie because that's us.
You know who my best friend is in that game?
What's that?
Moving Floor Tile.
Moving Floor Tile is my best homie. We go everywhere together.
Every time I dismissed an echo, I would say thank you for your service.
Hell yes.
I forget what enemy type it is, but do you know the one that is just like spinning the spiky mace ball around? Whatever that's called. The flail.
Mm-hmm.
My strat for boss fights is to summon one of those and then use the little... try power to lift it and carry it around, and then I just move it into bosses and like choose them.
Yes.
Hello, here is my meat grinder that I'm going to press into your face.
Yeah, what a good game.
10 out of 10.
I see.
You can make smoothies. You can make some weird,
yeah,
strange smoothies.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's like, oh, yummy, a rock salt potato smoothie. I'm like, dog, that's soup. This is just soup.
Yes.
You've reinvented soup.
Cold soup. That's a nice gazpacho.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're disrupting soup.
Finally, somebody's got to.
I mean, I could say that, like, for a lot of the lockdown, I put down art for, like, years. Mm. Like, drawing and painting and whatnot. I just didn't feel like it. Mm. And I was like, eh. It was the lockdowns for me were a very big period of eh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Eh. And, I don't know, I guess that's what I needed. But I'm drawing more now.
Okay,
I even got some watercolors for my birthday.
I have... So many of my art supplies are in storage right now, and I don't want to rebuy everything, so I have to find new hobbies. So I have finally started collecting some acrylic markers.
Oh, the Poscas?
I have knockoff Poscas, but yes.
The Noscas?
Yes. Noscas. Noscas Valley of the Acrylics.
Posca and the Valley of the Winds.
So I was going to cheat and say something that I intend to do after a hiatus that I haven't actually started, but then I looked down at what I'm currently doing to keep my hands busy, and crochet. I used to do, like, crochet and, like, cross stitch as a kid, and then, like, stopped because I was, like, a cool adult and stuff and didn't need to do crafts. But then it turns out, hey, making a little tiny crochet pumpkin is, like, a fun task to do, and at the end you have a little tiny crochet pumpkin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did I tell you my mom got into crochet recently? I think for the first time ever, because I don't think she did it as a child. But she's recently gotten into these Woobles.
Ooh, oh, yeah. Like, are those like little amigurumi guys?
Kinda, yeah, where it's like a little kit.
Oh, yeah.
All in one type vibe.
Yeah, the kits are really nice if you don't want to, like, be overwhelmed by choice and planning, and it's like, hey, I'm gonna do this one thing,
and at the end I will have a pug.
Hell yeah,
the greatest of all prizes.
My answer was also video game related, very specific video game though, is that I have resumed playing Elite Beat Agents after probably at least a decade, probably more than that, maybe two at this point.
Let's go.
When did that game even come out? I don't remember.
Oh, 2000s, like 05, 06 maybe.
But I definitely acquired it by legal means, and I'm playing it by legal means. On a device that it was intended to be played on, for sure.
Obviously. Yeah,
that's right.
Mm. Of course. And it's just very interesting how much it is like riding a bike. Those skills did not atrophy at all, apparently. They've just been lingering in my fingers.
Your muscle memory said, Elite Pete Divas here.
You can take the boy out of the beat, but you can't take the beat out of the boy.
That's true.
Mm. You can take the elite out of the eight. No.
No, abort.
You got onto a real os kick.
Yeah. How about we talk about some episodes of Dragon Ball Super, though?
We should do that.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
This activity that we resume after not very long hiatuses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it depends.
Yeah.
Listen, sometimes, not to bring us back, but sometimes you finish a series like Dragon Ball Z in March of 2020.
Sometimes.
Wow.
Sometimes. And then you think to yourself, well, let's find a way to keep it going. And you go to Dragon Ball GT. But I think that was a gift for all. Maybe that's why I gave up drawing. I was just it just drove me my spirit into the loam.
You saw that the pinnacle had already been reached, and there was no more ground for you to cover.
It's already very tall jaw people. We've reached
tall
peak.
Jaw people.
That's the GT way. Yeah. They just got tall jaws. Mm.
That's what it stands for. Jaw tall.
Jaw tall. That's right.
This week we're covering episodes 22, 23, and 24, as mentioned. Episode 22, the English title, and I'm pretty sure the Japanese title as well, is Change, an Unexpected Return. His name is Ginyu.
Turn and face the frog, changes.
It's what we've learned about recently, that frogs can bring about great change. Mm.
So, the Z Warriors are sizing up Tagama, trying to gauge how strong he actually is, and Gohan suspects that he's probably equivalent to himself back in his prime days.
Boy.
Oh, oh no.
Well, shit.
I'm not sure which days those are anymore. Like, when he refers to those, is that, like, beating Cell? Is that Prime?
I assume it's end of Cell Saga, yeah.
I think it's Cell. But when he says
not
that.
Z-Sword Gohan?
I mean, really, whenever you start looking back to, you know, putting your Prime in a past thing, that's always going to get muddled and...
a little murky.
Little less attached.
Am I forgetting
something? Yeah, when he was trading with the Elder Kai with the sword and unlocked his hidden potential that way.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of
Not the first time he unlocked his hidden potential, which was on Namek. Yeah. The other time he unlocked his more hidden potential that was.
I literally don't even think I remember that.
Well, it's okay because it amounted to nothing. So
yeah, like
it didn't matter really.
It's,
so
it's okay because I did not remember this frog thing at all, much like many of the characters in the show.
Oh, I can never forget about the frog.
Yeah, didn't I just bring up the frog like a little bit ago? Like, hey, where's Ginyu?
You did. Yeah, yes.
You and sure you did. Said, hang on to that thought.
He said, put a fucking pin in that one.
Bulma and Jocko are hiding behind a rock. Melissa, how do you feel about Jocko? We didn't get your opinions on him in his introduction.
He's a guy.
He's a guy.
He is definitely a guy. I like him in these episodes as you wouldn't think he would be the stand-in for a normal person, but he definitely seems like the stand-in of just like, this is not, no thank you.
Yeah.
No.
This shit is above my pay grade.
Yeah.
Yeah, now that I'm watching the dub, is like, ooh, I hate him because he's like just so much the like 2000s era, like, well, that happened.
He is extremely millennial. Sure. Well, that happened, coded.
I mean,
it is insane.
I mean, he literally says, "I can't even."
He does. He does say that.
Yes, he does. He said, "I can't even," and I checked the Japanese because I was like, that feels like a mataku, like kind of like sigh thing. He doesn't fucking say anything.
Whoa!
They just added that in the dub because they felt
just
like they
fill
needed
that
it.
Space.
Yeah.
Yep.
Maybe that's just like part of his like universal translator package for Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His universal translators are from 2000 and late. One of the first words he said as a baby was, "He's right behind me, isn't he?"
Oh, no.
Tagama brashly challenges the Z Warriors to battle him as a familiar frog hops onto the scene.
Oh my god.
Who's this guy?
That frog.
Piccolo
animal.
Is up first, and Tagama promises to thrash him in 3 minutes or less.
I would be surprised he would think that long.
I'm going to wipe the floor with you in exactly 3 minutes.
22 minutes and 18 seconds.
Like, that's kind of a long fight by your standards.
Piccolo dashes in with a punch to Tagama's face, but the Eggman doesn't even flinch.
He's got the master plan.
And in fact, yes, he expected as much from Piccolo. And he then hits Piccolo with a classic that the Namekian is all too familiar with. It is the, has anyone seen my arm? You can't miss it. It's green technique.
Oh. Brutal.
Sure is. Mm-hmm.
Do you think because Piccolo can regrow stuff that it's easier?
Because
it does seem
like
he just It does seem like it's just like a Figma figure that he just like pops it off.
Yeah,
yeah, it really snapped off easily. Like it reminded me of when a lizard's tail snaps off, which I've like actually gotten to see in person now, and it.
Yeah, that is essentially what's happening.
Like it didn't even.
Guys,
gush.
It's not funny. Namekians only do that when they're stressed.
it snapped like a piece of celery.
Oh.
Yeah, which is easy to snap.
Yeah.
Confirming my point.
Mm.
And he is a... Are they plant? No. They don't do the plant thing.
No, they do. He photosynthesizes.
They plants. Yeah.
Drinks water.
Well, we all drink
water.
I think he is
just celery.
Lord.
You could bite into his arm at a Buffalo Wings restaurant to relieve the heat.
You could. You could also
mind.
Not do that.
He loves it.
He loves it. Tagama is pretty full of himself, bragging about how super strong he got from Frieza punching him over and over again.
My ass got kicked into the next dimension.
But it was cool and great, and I am now gonna spread that to everybody.
The trauma was good for me, actually.
Yeah, this is a healthy response.
And then Gotenks arrives and San family headbutts him in the dick.
Oh, he cracks him right in the Tagamas.
Unfortunately, these two little idiots fused on their way to the fight instead of when they got there, so their fusion runs out immediately afterwards.
Guys.
Let's go!
Guys.
The dipshit squad, back at it again. I love
Planning is hard.
Planning is hard. Cool poses are easy.
Which I actually... also pretty much describes the Ginyu Force, I think.
Yeah.
So
yeah. True. It seems that Frieza is already familiar with the fusion technique, but he is surprised to see a miniature Goku running around.
Mm. He's like, I don't like that shape. I don't much care for that hair shape.
Yeah, I do like how often this happens to Goten.
Yeah.
It's rough, buddy.
Somebody has war flashbacks of his dad when they look at him.
They get transported back into anime Nom.
Yeah, and then a vast misunderstanding of Trunks.
Yes, he also vaguely remembers Trunks, but this one seems shorter now, so he assumes that he must be the son of that swordsman who cut him in half.
I mean, that's the only way time could work.
Half the size.
Right.
Because anything else would be a crime.
Yeah.
And Frieza always obeys the laws.
Sure.
That's right.
Listen, he's a space despot, but he doesn't jaywalk through time.
He pays his space taxes on space time.
Something space trains.
Yeah, that's where I was going to.
Okay.
I liked this line from Trunks, which was, I'm not scared, but I think we should run.
Yeah. That's good.
Bestie, such a good point.
Yeah. It just seems like the best choice in the circumstance.
Yeah.
Logical.
I just want to preface. I'm not Pete.
Not scared.
No. No, of course not.
No.
It's a tactical move.
Yes. He who fights him runs away.
He's a master of military strategy like his father.
That's right.
Who knows every trick in the book?
Everything above ground and below.
I was about to say.
Bug in the ground trick. Mm-hmm. Never forget.
Never forget.
That's maybe the first trick that, like, Trunks, or that Vegeta probably taught to Trunks, is like, now
right,
you're gonna want to look at the ground for signs of bugs.
Yeah.
And by bugs, I mean men's hands that come out of it sometimes.
To grab you.
That's right.
As Tagama writhes in pain on the ground, Ginyu Frog hops up to him and quickly scribbles something in the dirt in front of Tagama's face.
This is wild.
He just writes Ligma.
Tagama, confused, reads it aloud and says, change now?
He just says, who the hell is Steve Jobs?
I am fascinated by the idea that this is how this works.
Yeah. Someone has to utter the words, change now. It doesn't have to begin you, but it does have to be uttered in language speech.
It does have to happen.
The trap sprung, Tagama switches bodies with the frog, and Captain Ginyu is back in action.
Let's go!
It makes me wonder if this is not like alien science, but in fact, witchcraft.
Oh, Captain, my Captain.
It could just be something that's unique to Ginyu's culture or whatever.
Such as witchcraft. Nobody else could...
Exactly what I mean. Yeah, it's witchcraft from whatever planet he's from, because nobody else can do this.
Yeah. It's his space Baba.
On second thought, no. We don't want that. We don't want Baba to be like this guy. I don't know, man. Like,
is Baba stronger than Frieza?
Do we want Baba to be associated with this guy? Like, professionally?
Listen, if he pays, he pays.
I guess that's true. But does he? Does he pay his dues?
I don't know.
I'm skeptical.
So you guys remember how last week I mentioned that Tagama is pretty unceremoniously done away with in the movie version of this storyline?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, how does he die again in the movie?
On the spaceship, as soon as Frieza is revived, Frieza just kills him after he voices his concerns.
Rude.
Oh, he gets just done away with like a toady.
Yep.
Cool.
So then when I was watching this version on the show as it was coming out, I was like, okay, this is interesting. We're going somewhere with this character. And then this episode came out, and I said to myself, this is a perfect TV show.
This is some goddamn television.
They have made a perfect television program.
Fate we get unceremoniously done away with cannot be escaped.
We get a recap of the fate of the poor captain long, long ago on planet Namek.
Yeah, let's break this down for the Gen Zers who didn't watch Z as a kid, which is kind of interesting now that you think about it.
Yeah. Frieza is unconcerned whether it's Ginyu or Tagama who does it. He just wants someone to kill the Z warriors already.
At least Frieza is, like, happy to see Ginyu, though.
I know, I took note of that. It's very funny.
He's like, put some respect on his name. He's a captain.
He just accepts him back into the ranks, no problem.
Oh, you rascal.
I mean, he's surrounded by people he doesn't know, so it's just nice to have someone to talk to again.
Right, yeah.
Plus, understandable. With his playful poses, he kind of doubles as a court jester.
Right, yeah. Every evil tyrant needs one of those. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. That's right.
Ginyu begins thrashing all of the Z warriors single-handedly, claiming, "This is the best body I've ever worn."
You.
I don't like it when you say it like that, Cap.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the best.
Bulma pulls out the ice cream sundae again that she had stored on her ship and tries once more to get Whis's attention so that they can call Goku and Vegeta back to the Earth.
It's got extra sauce on it. Please.
Meanwhile, Goku and Vegeta are getting crushed to death by the very atmosphere of the weird dimension that they teleported to.
Oh my.
Hell yeah.
Vegeta eventually finds the trick to moving around, saying, "If I raise my energy but control it so it doesn't leak out, I can move. Is this the secret to divine energy? The pressure is intense."
Huh.
Just hold all your feelings inside.
Oh no, Vegeta! No,
it's like it sounds like he's making the same observations while like adjusting his bidet.
The pressure is intense.
It is interesting though. So the implication is that all the screaming and yelling and like the giant explosive auras blasting off of people in this show is like it's just sort of a natural impulse. Like there's so much power inside that the obvious response is to just let it all emanate out. And
yeah,
then two, it's super
your
inefficient.
Power.
Yeah, like yeah. that's genuinely interesting. Like,
it felt good to me because it sort of brought the whole like superpower muscle beam stuff back into the realm of psychic powers as metaphors for big feelings.
And also actual martial arts,
right? Because it's like, oh, good show. If you're like a mess and you're doing like, you know, all of the sort of emotional contagion stuff where it's like you don't know how to name and like deal with your emotions yourself, so you like make other people feel them so that you can see it. It's like, hey, no, like actually have it inside of you and also like power it up, but like keep it inside and then you can work with it. I don't know.
You need to do some shadow work, is what we're saying.
Yeah, go train in the shadow realm.
That's what I'm always saying this.
Goku and Vegeta both realize that this place is very reminiscent of the hyperbolic time chamber.
Which means you've got to find
where the food
is.
It's like a hyperbolic time dimension. Yeah.
We're going to be lost in time without food.
On Earth, Gohan tries his best to battle Ginyu, but he has grown quite rusty. And he is forced into using his Super Saiyan form.
His brain's all full of bug facts.
This allows him to turn the tables on Ginyu, and he tries to show the captain mercy, refusing to continue the fight just to fuel his own ego. Frieza doesn't like how much that sounds like Goku, and he puts a hole in Gohan's other shoulder.
This may not be the place to make that point.
That sounds a lot like Mercy Goku talk, and I don't much care for that, actually.
Frieza tells Ginyu to stand down, deciding to kill this one himself. And then Frieza begins gleefully plugging Gohan full of holes, mocking him relentlessly.
Hello there, Pipsqueak. I have decided to make an example of you this day.
He aims a killing blow at Gohan's head, but it turns out everyone is pulling out their classic moves today because Piccolo steps in to take the beam instead.
Oh no!
Gohan's dad again!
Any other thoughts for episode 22?
Okay, so do they not like Piccolo in this show?
I mean, this is...
Because he hasn't really done anything.
He hasn't done anything since the Namek Saga, I don't think. So
he hangs out with Pan.
Nothing is new.
I mean, I feel like, and not to belittle her, because, I mean, she deserves it completely, but I feel like Chi-Chi has done more in this show than Piccolo so far.
I'll take it. And I'm the number
one.
He'll
get some time in the sun.
Okay.
Well, that's good because the photosynthesis.
That's
true. He needs it. He desperately needs it.
Yeah. No wonder he's getting beat up so bad.
Yeah.
Episode 23, the English title is Earth, Gohan, both on the ropes. Hurry and get here, Goku.
Jeez. Yeah, Goku.
Things are looking dire on the Earth, but the day is about to be saved by a cat's desire for more pizza.
As it always
that
is.
Always the way. Yeah.
As above, so below. Cat loves food. Yeah.
It was a prophecy that Yamcha was saying.
That's true. He didn't know it at the time.
He blacked out.
Just always the way with prophecies, though.
Beerus calls Goku and Vegeta back from the time chamber dimension, where Whis was also storing extra pizza boxes from Earth. Unfortunately, the Saiyans found and ate all of the pizzas while they were training.
I mean, what you expect?
Come on. If you put the boys in the pizza box, they're gonna eat the pizza.
Yep.
Not victim blaming the pizza.
It is becoming increasingly more difficult for Vegeta to look like he is taking anything seriously when he is like standing in his arms folded pouty pose when they're talking about like eating 50 pizzas at once.
Yeah.
Like, no, I didn't eat the pizzas. It was all Kakarot's idea. Whis finally gets Bulma's message and notices her distress. Bulma quickly fills them in on what's been going down on the Earth. Unfortunately, though, it's going to take Whis 35 more minutes to get them back to the Earth.
That's a whole anime episode.
That's longer than an anime episode.
And that anime episode might be titled Somebody Dies.
We can't risk that.
We can't.
So Gohan, despite being full of holes, tries his best to buy some time. He begins powering up far beyond his means, but this spike in energy is strong enough for Goku to lock onto, even from their distance, and he instant transmissions himself and Vegeta back to the Earth.
Ah, oh, I love it.
Clever
this
boy
is
being
so
clever.
Fucking cool.
Nice.
Uh-huh.
It's so fucking cool and smart.
Using that bug brain.
Mm-hmm.
They get back just in time to rescue Gohan from another killing blow, and Gohan is just fully tapped out of this fight at this point.
Gohan says, I am good, actually.
Reached his
Goku
limit.
Goku appears, and... Oh no, I think this... I don't know if this is quite yet. Frieza says about Goku, he's both my bane and my muse.
Yes.
Why is everything Frieza says in this show so fucking rad?
He is Helga Pataki.
Did he?
Yes! Oh my God. Why is he dropping a fucking album with every line?
Does he talk this? Are his lines this raw in the movie version of this?
Poetry from the angels and fairies and enchanted teddy bears that were singing to him. He couldn't help but pick it up. It's part of the poison from hell.
Oh, okay.
I think a lot of his poetic language is Funimation edition. But I don't mind it. And
yeah.
It's also performed wonderfully.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
He is a delight to have back in the show.
It is, yeah. It's so good.
Yeah, it's good character growth. Like, ooh, you had a lot of time to think about exactly what kind of evil emperor you want to be.
And, like, rehearse everything in your head.
Yeah, like a year's worth of ideas to put into practice.
He has planned every conversation for the next 16 years in his head.
The the angels in hell told him to think about his sins, and he said, you know what, I didn't have nearly cool enough monologues.
Don't mind if I do.
I didn't sin nearly enough, or as cool as I should have.
Yeah. Man, I gotta get back up there and sin way harder.
Yeah.
And now here he is.
Goku sends Trunks and Goten away to the lookout after teleporting Piccolo's corpse there. He wants them to explain to Dende what's going on. And the rest of the fighting is going to be left up to Goku and Vegeta now.
But when they're trying to get them to leave, and Bulma's like, you gotta go. And then Vegeta hits Trunks with his Conqueror's Haki.
Yes.
The dad stare.
The dad stare.
Yeah.
Ginyu begins lamenting about his terrible life as a frog, wanting revenge for what happened to his force on Namek. Vegeta has no time for him, however, and after 24 years, Vegeta finishes personally killing every member of the Ginyu Force.
He ices every fucking member of the Ginyu Force.
Wow.
One by one.
Honestly, especially after the rest of the episode and after this, like, Vegeta is the protector that Earth deserves. Because he gets shit done.
Yeah, you know? Probably. Yeah.
He checks off that list. I just want to check out, like, oh, let's, like, spar. Let's hang out.
To be fair, though, he did do that with Cell. Like,
yeah.
Well, he's learned.
Yeah.
He's learned.
He
did something wrong and he learned from it.
Character
growth. Does that describe Vegeta not ever repeating his past mistakes? I'm just saying.
I don't remember a time he's done that.
Interesting mistakes to make.
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
He'll get there. Give it a minute.
If it was unclear, this is the hiatus I was referring to, is Vegeta killing Ginyu Force members.
Wow.
I was just very tickled when the episode came out that it was Vegeta who got the job done.
Yeah.
Because he really did kill each and every one of them.
Listen, sometimes your to be read pile takes a minute.
Yep.
But you'll get to it. But
eventually you turn that Ginyu Force into a Ganyu Force.
Let's go!
This is so fucking wild. Like, we have the beginning of this really cool new arc with this new character, Tagama. And then as that arc is getting going, he's instantly replaced with Ginyu coming back, who then dies almost instantly.
It's incredible.
It's so fucking weird.
Fantastic fucking television show.
I hope 24 years from now, Tagama gets to change into somebody else's body, too.
Yeah! Oh.
Maybe, well, can he, though? Because is the power not Ginyu's?
Yeah, I think so. Like,
I think he's stuck frog.
I think
he's probably stuck frog.
Unless Ginyu transfers back into the frog body from the afterlife, which is also not impossible in Dragon Ball. Yeah. So,
well, maybe, you know, Tagama will use what he learned from getting beat up by Frieza and say, oh, excellent, this frog is the weakest creature in the universe, anybody can beat it up, which means it will be the strongest in the universe.
There's nowhere to go but up.
Right.
After I kill 1 million slimes.
Yes.
And now it's time for the next isekai.
Another banger line from Frieza. He says, having to put real effort into anything has been a first for me, Goku. I'll make you pay for that as well.
Ooh, you know what? There is something so delicious about Frieza's hatred for Goku. There's something so, like, you made me try.
Mm-hmm. You and rat
I don't
bastard.
Like that. I don't like feeling that
you
way.
You made me grow as a person, and I will never forgive you.
And I'm going to kick your ass now.
To ensure that he makes no mistakes this time, Frieza immediately transforms to his final stage.
Yeah!
Because that third one's just really hard to draw.
I know. But I like the Xenomorph one, though. Yeah. It's funny.
Also, in this transformation, he blows his own men away in the process.
He sure fucking does, man.
I love that Tagama was right. Like, he said, like, back at the beginning, he said, like, is it actually a good idea to bring this guy back?
He called all of this shit.
And then, but then, by the time it matters, like, he himself didn't care anymore.
Yeah.
Like, right. Like,
that
I don't...
had been beaten out of him.
Like, if he was, well... Well, no, I assume the frog has been, I assume the frog has been disintegrated now.
Yeah, probably.
But, like...
Yeah.
Watching this, like, I don't even think he would care all that much now. Like, you know, he had been, like, completely... like, turned into Frieza's apprentice, it feels like. Like, that's, like, a bizarre, fascinating, like, cyclical arc there. I guess by definition, if it's cyclical, it can't be an arc.
He had become toadified.
Yeah.
No, I think cyclical arc describes Dragon Ball pretty well.
You know, actually, you're right.
He's at my first love of cycle.
Goku says, "It's really too bad you're rotten to the core. You could have been a perfect sparring partner. What a waste of talent."
Says, "I'm right here, Kakarot." God, these three and their little hate triangle is so good.
It is a perfect television show.
It is so juicy.
Episode 24 is such a weird fucking episode. I love it. We'll get to it, but, like, surely it was just to kill time, but they made it such a weird episode.
Yeah.
It's great. If you're gonna kill time, do it weird.
Yeah, get weird with it.
Get fucking kooky.
Any other thoughts for episode 23 before we get to the weird episode?
I was so delighted by Ginyu yelling, "You trapped me in a frog!" just because, when I was in middle school, me and my best friend would, like, whenever we ran into each other, we would start quoting that bit from "Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?"
We thought you was a toad.
So that just kind of hit that little bit of joy.
Jesus Christ, you're right.
I had a little bit of a little semantics. Thought experiment type question. Because I think this is where Frieza, like, Goku's like, "I don't even need to power up." But Frieza's like, "Oh, I'll have the gold Super Saiyan scalp on my wall." And then he's like, "Well, the black-haired Goku pelt will be fine anyway."
It'll still tie the room together.
Wouldn't it be black regardless? Because when Goku dies, he will revert back.
He doesn't.
I don't know. Frieza doesn't know that.
I mean, it seems. I mean, he understands how powering up works.
He only just started playing around.
He understands how transformations work.
I just didn't want him to be disappointed.
I want him to be disappointed.
It is impossible for Frieza to not be disappointed.
It's cutting Rapunzel's hair.
Oh, Saiyan gleam and glow. Let your power shine.
Man.
Launch a spirit ball.
Imagine if baby Goku got rescued by Mother Gothel instead of Grandpa Gohan.
Oh, man.
Oh, I would have loved that movie.
Boy, this is so great. This is what the fanfic list was created for.
Hello? Hello?
Like,
no, see, here's the thing,
like,
though.
Like, everything,
you need
every
to
other...
Find a super... You, like, need to find a baby who can go Super Saiyan as a baby. Mother Gothel finds Broly.
Broly was found by Mother Gothel instead. Like, everything else on the list, it was just to get to this one. Like,
Does Grandpa Gohan X Mother Gothel count as a crack ship, or can we just say it's a legitimate one?
You know what?
I dig it.
Yeah.
That's the most extreme form of crack ship. Because it's not just, like, characters that have no relationship to each other or would never interact. It's characters from completely different fandoms that have no reason to interact. So I approve. In other words, it's the perfect. It's a platonic ideal of a crack ship.
Right.
It's named because they have to fall through a crack between universes just to have their meet cute.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is also actually a pretty good fanfic.
Episode 24, the English title is Clash! Frieza versus Goku. This is the result of my training. And we get a long stare down to start this episode.
Mm-hmm. This was the episode that Ben watched with me. Yeah. And he was like, wow, nothing really happens in this show.
Yep. It's just like Seinfeld in that way. Yep.
Wow. One of many ways in which in which Dragon Ball Z is right, like though. Seinfeld. Who is the Cruise the Kramer of the Drive Dragon world?
Oh man!
Oh, Gotenks.
Yeah.
I mean, he did.
He just
bust
kind
in.
Of Kramers into the fight. Like, what's up, everybody? I'm gonna get bodied.
Man, I'm actually thinking about it now, and like, Chi Chi is almost exactly Elaine, isn't she? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where like she's objectively like the best and like most competent person in the show, but just everything sucks for her all the time and she's just a huge mess.
Frieza and Goku begin the fight simply by trying to overpower each other in an old-fashioned wrestle.
Love a good
they rest. Just lock hands and start trying to be stronger than each other.
Listen, you guys, you're allowed
like
to just hug
Roman warriors.
It's okay. Yeah.
Hug it out.
Men will do anything but go to therapy.
We need to reckon with the fact that, like, we as a podcast took the entire Frieza fight as like a really long, protracted, like, flirting match.
It's true. We did do that.
Very extremely one-sided, though, because Goku does not know what flirting is. Is that food? I'm not sure. Mm. So we have to, I feel like we need to follow that energy into Super. Because, like, this is some kind of a breakup rekindling. Like,
yeah, well, yeah, this is like, a, like, you didn't pay enough attention to me, and I'm like, I don't want to keep flirting with you, but, so he's like, this is Frieza, like, mad that he still wants Goku, but also he's fighting his own feelings, but also Goku.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is the Taylor Swift "Look What You Made Me Do," but in Dragon Ball.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's literally "Look What You Made Me Do." You made me train.
You made me have to give a shit about this.
Oh, the greatest crime.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to write down every Frieza monologue because that would just be the whole episode.
That's yeah, all of them.
Says a lot of things.
Yeah.
He just keeps spitting fire every time.
I did write down this one, which is, if not for my desperate need to destroy you, I never would have dreamed of exerting myself as I have. I'm a different person now. You've opened my eyes to what's possible. But the blade cuts both ways. While such effort has strengthened my body, it has inflicted indescribable damage to my pride. Effort is a humiliation. No superior being should have to toil and sweat and stink like some lowly beast. Training is meant for the monkey, not the master.
Yes.
So
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, this really you sounds like an internal try. Struggle that Goku has not really anything to do with, but
yeah, <I'm,
laughs> I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm just thinking about, like, what? Maybe there's a reason
Goku's
he
like,
doesn't.
That's cool, man. Can we fight now?
Like, maybe there's a reason he doesn't want King Cold back. You know what I mean? I feel like there was some shit going on in that family.
Oh, for Perhaps. Sure. But they want to keep it on ice.
Ah.
Because they're all cold-themed.
While Frieza monologues, Bulma makes a startling realization. Jocko kind of looks like Frieza if you squint at him.
Bulma, no!
This feels racist, but in space.
Bulma, come on!
Jocko wonders why everyone on this planet is fucking crazy.
A fair question.
Mm-hmm.
Fair question.
Yeah.
Listen, Jocko, you'd be crazy if you had, like, world-ending catastrophes every couple weeks.
Also true, yeah.
And had to deal with Goku
always. This is an entire planet of ghosts, and the only people that aren't dead have survived, like, 6 apocalypses in a row and will never recover.
Like,
yeah, I think I was
kind of
onto something
breakfast.
Last week when I was talking about Goku constantly irradiating his planet with beans.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Maybe Dragon World is just kind of Fallout, huh?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's just doing a remarkable job of pretending otherwise.
they can keep up appearances a little better.
Yeah, no wonder the the Snappians retreated.
Yeah. It wasn't the dog, it was the radiation levels that spooked them.
Well, it's the fact that they evolved dogs so quickly in their like planetary timeline.
due
to the radiation.
Right, yeah. Once they retreat, you know, they'll be able to, you know, analyze all the data and be like, oh my god, if we'd stayed there any longer, we would have started turning into dogs.
Oh.
Frieza aims not for Goku, but for Krillin, taking Goku by surprise.
He really is
Krillin.
He really is trying to play the hits, isn't he?
Yep. He pictured this going a very specific way.
It needs to happen exactly the same as last time, except this time I win.
Yeah.
That'll resolve all of my problems.
Then I won't feel bad about it anymore.
Yep, that's how that works.
Goku manages to rescue his friend, but he lets his guard down and Frieza begins to strike. The fight quickly devolves into too fast to watch mode, but we learn that Jocko is still able to keep up with their movements, so he begins commentating the fight for Bulma.
My main skill is perception. It is not my dump stat.
Frieza keeps sprinkling in pot shots at the other spectators to spread Goku's attention thin. And then Goku and Frieza begin to argue over who makes who matter between the two of them. And the squabbling is just really fun to listen to.
What is this feeling? So sudden and new. LA does on you.
We always get back there.
Frieza promises that once his revenge is complete, he's also going to take revenge on all Dragon Balls across the galaxy by destroying them all.
Oh my god. He's going to
fuck up every Dragon Ball I see.
He's going to fight the franchise itself.
From Dragon Ball A to Dragon Ball Z.
Franchise. He's going to fight the franchise. Dragon Ball Z.
Gonna claw his way out of this prison.
My life went downhill when it became a TV show.
This is a weird take for the Dragon Ball version of those lacking spines, like starring Frieza, but I'm into it.
Imagine the Truman Show.
Has anyone ever heard of
Frieza?
That?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, has anyone ever heard of that fanfic, the Kingdom Hearts fanfic?
No.
Which one?
Those Lacking Spines?
No.
It's an old fic from like the Kingdom Hearts 2 era of the fandom. By a writer who hated the Kingdom Hearts fandom, and it was about like the virus infects the Kingdom Hearts reality where it turns you into your shitty fanon self, like the most entry level bad takes that fans have of you, like it transforms you into that.
No.
And how vulnerable you are to it depends on like how many fics are written about you.
Wow.
So the protagonists are the three least popular members of Organization 13, who are mostly immune and have to go on a quest to save Kingdom Hearts. And, like, it's amazing. And, like, late in it, they very briefly run past, like, three characters from Final Fantasy X, who are, like, on their way to something else in the Final Fantasy X version of this fic. And I've been thinking about that line for, like, 15 years. Of, like, Jesus, you could do this premise with anything. With any fandom. And it would probably be equally incredible. But the idea that the Dragon Ball version of this is Frieza trying to destroy Dragon Ball itself. Has ultimate revenge on Goku. I'm kind of loving this.
You'll never see it
coming. I like Theo's take that his life was better before it was a TV show. Like,
yeah.
My life was better before the canon even existed.
I'm loving this whole concept, actually.
Vegeta suddenly butts in on the fight, but he begins fighting Goku for some reason, and no one has any idea what's going on.
Including me, the audience.
He reminds me of like an inexperienced improviser who jumps into the scene just because they haven't been in a scene for a bit and they feel like it's
he
time.
Sure thought he had an idea and then he panicked.
It kind of felt like he was not having enough attention.
And I have a gun. Okay, well.
He then gives Frieza a round of applause, congratulating him on coming back to life.
And
this applause lingers for quite a while.
This is when this is when I was on the same page as you, Tyler. Like, yeah, this is the supreme form of the television show.
This is a perfect television program.
Good job, Shinji.
Congratulations.
Frieza eventually gets annoyed, telling him to quit it. And Vegeta replies, "Your mere existence offends me, Frieza. Why don't you quit that?"
Got him!
Oh, wow.
Oh, but fucking got him!
Set must him up be the and money. Knocked him down.
Oh. We were just doing chores.
Vegeta briefs is my fucking my knight shining armor at this show. He's just Monsieur Sabat is fucking earning that paycheck week after week.
Well, he had such a long stretch of just standing on a boat staring into the sky.
Mm-hmm. He had a lot of time to think up zingers. And
he too thought through the next bit of conversations that he would have.
Vegeta, who has spent the better part of his adult life fixated on revenge against Kakarot, tells Frieza to shut the fuck up about training for 4 months.
Oh, 4 months.
You sound like my son when he was a baby.
Don't spend them all in one place.
Oh my god.
And then the three of them just kind of talk shop for a while. In the air.
Yeah.
This is just a truly bizarre episode of this TV show. Goku decides that rather than piss Vegeta off more, he's going to get serious and show off the fruits of his training.
I'm going to get right to it because otherwise my fight boyfriend will be mad at me.
Frieza says that he would be afraid if he wasn't also holding some cards close to his chest.
I also have a cool form that might show up on signature cans of soda pop.
It's not left-handed either.
Goku begins by transforming to Super Saiyan like usual, only this time he gets decidedly more blue.
Dabba-dee-dabba-die.
Interesting.
Krillin then notices that Goku's energy has vanished, just like when he became a deity. So now he's some sort of Super Saiyan God Super Saiyan.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I love Frieza's response to this.
Yeah.
Like, I'm surprised Frieza was able to follow any of this.
Yeah, my respect for him has increased, frankly.
Because I sure haven't.
No, and I don't...
He seems angry to have been able to.
I'm mad that I know this.
I'm not convinced any of this matters. Like, I think that this is just how Goku thinks of it in his head, and it doesn't...
Yeah.
It's not really relevant. Because I don't know what any of these distinctions mean.
Well, in a similar way to, like, the fusion can go Super Saiyan, I guess Super Saiyan God can go Super Saiyan.
Okay.
And that's the blue thing.
I see. So he can go Super Saiyan God without... having to do the thing, having to do,
or
the
at
ritual.
Least something close to it.
Okay,
so
he can go Twink Goku mode.
Yep,
and then he takes that into Super, and that's blue.
Mm-hmm.
I was always wondering about that since I've known about Super Saiyan Blue for a bajillion years because he's on all the fucking Hot Topic shirts.
Yeah,
Macy's Thanksgiving Parade.
He's in the Macy's Parade, he's in Dragon Ball FighterZ, so I'm like, I know we're gonna learn how he goes blue at some point, and I thought it was gonna be this cool, epic moment where he goes even further beyond. No! He's just blue. He just does it. That's the...
He does it in the weirdest episode of the show.
I mean, that's divinity for you, baby.
Is this
it's
like...
never what you expect.
Yeah.
I didn't actually realize until just now, is this show like... It's not even unlike GT, it's like the Mirror Universe GT. Where it's like completely nonsensical, but in the best way possible instead of the worst way
but
possible.
But in a fun way, yeah.
And I like it, yeah.
I think
in a way that doesn't make me mad every week.
I might be okay with this.
It's kind of in the same way that as a kid I've seen like Super Saiyan 3 on like all the fucking Hot Topic Macy's shirts or whatever. And then when we finally get to it in the show, it's just, I can do it now! It's like, okay.
He's more powerful than Majin Buu. Happens like 10 times in this show, so far.
Yeah, I can't really put my finger on it either, Dave, but like the distinction in my head has always been that GT has a tone of like, none of this matters. And Super has a tone of like, we're just vibing.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Just vibes.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, but in a low stakes way, not in a nihilist way.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. Nothing matters.
Not in a, like, then what are we doing?
Boy? And I'm assuming there isn't a panty dragon, which, you know, maybe there is, but that makes a big difference, is what I'm saying.
Well, I won't say one way or the other.
Okay.
But here's what I like about this transformation, is that the merchandising for it has to refer to it as Super Saiyan God Super Saiyan.
Yeah, SSGSS.
SSGSS. So, like, whenever he shows up in, like, Xenoverse or in Dragon Ball FighterZ, he's just called Goku, SSGSS, and they have to do that every time.
Yeah, parentheses, SSGSS.
SSGSS.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, now it's like a professional certification that you, like, put after your name on your resume.
Right! Son Goku, CPA.
MD, SSGSS.
Any other thoughts for episode 24 or any of the episodes this week?
Before I got to this point, there was a part of me that wondered if, like, the blue hair Goku would have something to do with the blue of the Kamehameha beam. But it may just be a cool color for things to be. That's all.
Good show.
Good show.
Excited to see where it works great. I'm excited to see where it goes.
Start my slow cut. Just like Vegeta.
I'm not doing that. It's murder for the audio.
Yeah.
And just the smile that he had on his face.
So creepy.
He's the creepiest man alive.
Go back to being grumpy.
Theo.
Yeah.
You have a hyperbolic rhyme chamber entry for us.
I do indeed. And this was inspired by just the witty repartee between Goku and Frieza about his Super Saiyan God Super Saiyan that just really reminded me of the fast-talking lyrics of a Gilbert and Sullivan opera. So I present to you the Super Saiyan version of a Super Saiyan deity. The man standing before you has ascended exponentially. His hair is blue and spiky, filled with otherworldly energy. The stage is only possible after training I'll recount for thee. I started as a baby, but was sadly dropped upon my head. I studied martial arts under my grandpa, who is sadly dead. Then Bulma shot me with a gun, and off we went adventuring to search for Dragon Balls for use in Dragon Shenron summoning. I learned the Kamehameha from Turtle Hermit instantly. I thwarted Scarlet Armies with a military strategy. The man standing before you has ascended exponentially, the Super Saiyan version of a Super Saiyan deity. I fought the Demon King a couple times, and now he's on our team. His name is Piccolo, and you'll recognize him because he is green. I found out I'm from outer space from some guy who was radishy, and also I got married and had a son with my wife named Chi-Chi. Well, anyway, we went to space and chilled with the Namekians, and fighting you back then... This is, by the way, I'm imagining Goku saying this to Frieza.
He's explaining all of this.
Yes.
Right, of course.
And fighting
course.
You back then was my first time as Super Saiyajin. You made my friend explode, and I was justifiably upset, so glowing past my limits was the only logical next step. I soon reached Super Saiyan 2 because I could not be contained. I went further beyond when Super Saiyan 3 I did attain. The man standing before you has ascended exponentially, the Super Saiyan version of a Super Saiyan deity. In fact, I must admit that I could not have reached this point alone. It took all of my Saiyan friends to grant a Saiyan power loan. I reached Divinity, and then by Beerus I was promptly owned, but after further training I can confidently say I've grown. I don't need transformation to do Whis's yard work anymore. I can change Beerus' bedsheets without interrupting kitty snores. I learned to keep my energy inside instead of leaking out when Vegeta and I had our interdimensional bout. So now you know the story of how I... Oh, yeah, see, this is... I was half paying attention. So now you know the story of how I reached my blue apogee. I hope that you're prepared for me to kick your imperial booty. The man standing before you has ascended exponentially, the Super Saiyan version of a Super Saiyan deity.
The man standing before you has ascended exponentially, the Super Saiyan version of a Super Saiyan deity.
Yep.
Theo, you fucked up. Like, you wrote
absolutely
it too well.
Incredible.
Like, you wrote it to the sufficient standard that you actually have to be, you know, a professional to sing it, to recite it correctly. Like, you created something, God created something more powerful than he could control.
Well, my handwriting
for some reason
help.
That's fair. For some reason, my favorite bit in there is just, you know, it's my friend Piccolo. You'll recognize him because he's green.
The backing track to this section better be the instrumental.
I mean, yeah, I'll find it.
Yeah, Modern Major General.
Grand Kai can fuck off this week.
Yeah, Grand Kai can take a break.
Oh, boy.
Take a break, Pappy.
Thank you.
Holy shit.
Jason.
Yeah?
You got a 4-star rating to follow that up?
Why'd you have to put me after that? Oh, man. I sure do. It's a Starbituary.
Of course.
You know, you and I both had a fucking mind link at the beginning of this episode.
Our sweet milky prince.
Our sweet, don't say it like that.
Heard of that game, I heard it's fun.
Yes.
I've heard of that French book, Le Petit Prince Lact Olé.
Cool.
Anyway, it's Ginyu, Captain Ginyu. Captain Ginyu in the ground, he dead. With a manga debut date, along with all the Ginyus, of April 24th, 1990, making him a Taurus. So, Ginyu, Taguma Ginyu, here is your reading. A passionate letter or call from a romantic partner could have you longing for an encounter.
Whoa.
You're likely to make it a night of it this evening. You're feeling happy, glowing in each other's company. One or both of you will have career success to report. Relations with coworkers and superiors should be cooperative and congenial. This bodes well for your future.
That's a way to interpret it.
One or both of you will have career success. Maybe just one, though.
Yes.
Oh.
Thank you all for listening. Appreciate everyone tuning in as we work our way through Dragon Ball Super. We'll be back in 2 weeks to talk about some more episodes, but until then, Dave, what would you like the fans to know?
Hang in there, folks. Scythe, PSYTHE, an archive of our own fanfiction sometimes.
Should we post the doc somewhere?
Probably.
Oh, just all the premises?
At least one person asked for it at one point. I did give it to them. But I can post it if you want.
Might be nice just to look through everything we've said for almost 10 years.
Look how far we've come.
Especially because so many of them, after all this time, are non-sequiturs. Like, you look at it, it's like, what in the actual fuck were we talking
what
about?
What were we
this
doing?
What does this mean?
Jason.
Hi.
How about yourself?
Yeah. Sometimes I stream on twitch.tv as jaycalves, JAYCALVES. Haven't streamed lately, but I might. Someday. We'll see. That also takes you to socials that I use sometimes and sometimes don't. If you want to buy soap that I've made physically with my hands, you can buy Bar Queen soap at my Etsy store. Barqueensoap.etsy.com. Get in for the holidays, because I haven't made any new stuff for the holidays, so what I have is what exists.
Melissa?
I am also chilling and existing, and I'm Kristaya, KRISTAIA, on things that I may or may not use, and keep swimming.
Very that.
Do you have any media recs? I've been asking Theo about his lately.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
anything you've
been
reading or watching or listening to?
Well, I'm still on the K-pop Demon Hunters train. I actually just started reading, I've owned it for a bit, I just started reading the Magic Knight Rayearth manga. which I have experienced that story through my initial experience, was in junior high. I played the Sega Saturn game, which was phenomenal. Like, absolutely fell in love with Rare Earth because of that game.
And I've also recently acquired that by completely legal means and intend to look into it
soon. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's really good. It's really, really good. Then several years ago, I finally watched the anime and was very disappointed because there's a very big twist that the anime tips, that the game absolutely did not tip.
Oh.
Which I think was better. And so I'm interested to see how the original manga plays out. I'm a big fan of shoujo that has swords and mechs.
If you have a hyperbolic rhyme chamber entry you'd like to have read on the show, you can send it to destructodiscourse@gmail.com. And I would also appreciate it if you could rate and review us on your podcast service of choice. Go ahead and make it a 4-star rating for Gohan.
That's the Gohan.
He saved the day.
Give us the Gohan. Mm-hmm. He did. By thinking.
Unheard of on this show.
It's an unusual strategy, but it played out this time.
This has been Destructo Discourse, and at this point, it's instinct.